Somebody listed five sets of Blitz 03s for $30,000 on Wheel Price.
$30,000 for five sets?
Five sets, which I'm mean, do the math on that. How much is
it's
that?
Like
how much
6, is that? 6,000 per set.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool wheel options on Wheel Price,
including $30,000 worth of Blitz 03s.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to Substance Podcast. I'm your host, Liam.
And I'm your other host, Matt.
And this week's episode, we have absolutely nothing planned for you guys. Kind of, but...
we do. It was just... We just came up with it. Well, we just thought about it about an hour ago.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say we, because I know it's something that I kind of think about, and I just, knowing Liam, I kind of assume he thinks about it too, but technically I haven't, like, asked him, but it does suck a little bit when we have to just, like, go off the cuff like that, just because, I don't know, in my head it feels like it's just, like, a little bit less, I don't want to say hard-hitting, that's a really weird word to use.
Yeah, but also, like, some of the best episodes that we've recorded have been super off the cuff. Like, you remember,
I suppose you're right.
Was it like 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? Was it last week? I don't fucking remember. No, last week we did Lucas's episode.
Yeah, last week.
It was like 2 weeks ago we did an episode that we really like kind of just winged it. And it was when we covered that Facebook post that we'd read that Chili had sent to you.
Yeah. Oh, which, yeah, I guess you're right.
Did you see there was a response to that?
You talking about the episode?
The guy that made the Facebook post made another one that was inspired by us talking about it on the podcast.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. I mean, we can get into it in a little bit, but that might actually be a cool thing to bring up and talk about towards the end of the episode, just to tie it back around to that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, yeah, we say this a lot. Like, we want to have people on. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Before I even say anything. All right. We're going to give a fat shout out right now because...
Big fat shout out.
If you guys will notice, we're like moving around a little bit more if you're watching on YouTube. We have new chairs.
We're breaking in these new chairs right now.
We have new chairs. Shout out to one of our Discord members, Johnny, or aka Coochie Style Flex. He bought us chairs. He's sick and tired of hearing us complain about how much...
And now we just have to get the creaks out of these ones.
Oh, yeah. But the issue now is that these have wheels on them, which means it's a lot easier to just fuck shit up. And I have already, in my motions of spinning slightly, I've already knocked the side of the table twice. So this is a new learning curve. His joke was that when they arrived, he was like, all right, now I expect the episodes to be 3 hours long because you have no reason to be complaining. And honestly, I mean, I think any chair for 2 hours is not going to be the most comfortable thing, unless it's like fully like a fucking couch.
A lot of gamers will want to have a word with you about that because there are people that have those big fancy gaming chairs where they sit there for like fucking 12 hours or just whatever the fuck people do.
That's totally fair, but we don't have big fancy gaming
chairs.
We're
not gamers.
But we do have these nice chairs. He sent us three of them, which is fucking awesome. Like, he messaged me and was like, hey, I want to send you guys a gift for the podcast. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue what it was until, I don't remember what day it was. It might have been Wednesday. I like go to open the door to leave for the gym, and there is like a stack of boxes right in front of the door. So I can't even leave. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck are these? Like, I didn't order anything. And then it says Substance Podcast on it. I'm like, oh, this is the, why is it so big? I was like, what is this? What have you done? Yeah. And I opened one of them. It was like, oh, they're chairs. That's actually really smart. I thought it was getting like, just because of the way that
Liam thought you sent three boxes of like five different Chicago style pizzas.
No, I just because of the way Johnny is, I thought it was going to be like some kind of gag gift or something. I did not think practically. And so when I open the box and I see chairs, I'm like, holy shit, that's so fucking nice. Thank you so much.
Yes. Super shout out to Johnny.
Yeah. So we put these Johnnies together and now we're sitting on them.
He's probably sitting there like, I'm going to take him back. Go ahead and put him back in the box just for that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're very appreciative. Thank you so much. And if any of you guys want to ever send us some stuff, maybe I'll get a PO box set up soon, because I do feel a little uncomfortable giving out the address to the few people that have, you know, sending us stuff.
Sending a bomb to Substance Podcast.
Yeah. But no, I might get a PO box set up. So if you guys do want to help us out and send us some stuff, whether it is just like you have something cool that you make or whatever, maybe you have a piece of art, I don't know. But we do appreciate you guys, yes, all of you do. That tune in every week and listen to this or watch on YouTube. You guys are the best. And that's fucking awesome that somebody would go out of their way to buy us three chairs. So, yeah, thanks, Johnny. We appreciate that.
Thanks, buddy.
But before I knock into the side of the table again, I forgot what I was saying or where I was going.
Well, the last thing I remember was talking about how at some point we're going to touch on how he responded to our
That would, I feel like we'll do that towards the end of the episode, because we did that the last time.
Oh, I just that's the last thing that I remember you talking about.
I was saying how we want to have guests on, but it logistically is not that simple to just do this, and we've talked about this a couple of times, but you know, we have very differing schedules. Matt's been insanely busy. And it's kind of hard to make it work out to the fact, like, we're in one set location, right? If people have to come to this one location to record, and then, like we've said before, we don't ever want to just have somebody just show up at the house. You come in the garage, you sit down, and we record, and that's it. Like, we want to spend time with the person, get to know them, so that we know how to bring you guys the best interview possible, as opposed to it's really formal. They just fucking come in, sit down, we talk about some shit, and then they leave. Mm-hmm. So logistically, it's pretty difficult to do. It takes a lot of time, and we just haven't been able to make that work every single week. And we'll get to a point where we can, you know, we can do, you know, maybe one episode here or there that is just us talking about whatever. And then the majority of the time it can be guests and really insightful conversations about whatever it is that they have to talk about. But yeah, it's pretty hard to do that on a regular basis when you're just stuck in one place. You don't have an unlimited budget. We can't just pay people to, you know, come here and do this all the time. And we're regular
one day
people with regular lives. Yeah. One day. Soon enough. But, yeah, this week it's just us. We're hanging out. And honestly, I don't mind when we do these episodes, like the off-the-cuff ones, kind of like I was saying.
Oh, no. Well, and I mean, I do. I want to clarify, like, I don't, you know, I don't have a problem with them. I definitely, because, like, you know, it's like you said, like, I feel like some of our, like, low-key best ones have kind of been when we just launch just into it like it, that. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that's something that I'm going to have to, like, just get over in my head. Just the idea that, like, when we don't go into it with a destination of some sort, to me, it just kind of feels like there's a possibility that at some point we'll just run into, like, yep, well, there's that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, I get it too. Cause it's like, it's one of those things that we both really care about this. We're both super passionate about it. And it hurts us to feel like we're not putting enough effort in.
Right.
Like, if we're not pre-planning the entire episode beforehand and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes that's just not the way it works, you know? Going in here and winging it and keeping the conversation super authentic and just off the cuff sometimes works out better. So it's just how it is, and we have to fight our own battles to get over. The, you know, it can't always be in control and can't always be 100% perfect, but I think every time we manage to deliver a good, entertaining and insightful episode for you guys anyway. So I really, I'm starting to get used to just, hey, we got to wing it this week. Here we are.
Well, works for me. Yeah. I've enjoyed it every time so far. So
what's been going on with you this week? The sigh.
So, just in the spirit of the transparency that I so frequently talk about, I am in one of the negative cycles of my disorder, and it just makes interacting with people and really doing anything outside of the confines of my room or talking with my girlfriend very difficult. And it is a little bit aggravated by the fact that I'm working. We all work a lot. My job is very physical. And so I'm just like really tired and low energy by the end of the day. So
yeah,
when you're really tired and low energy and you just kind of hate the world at that moment, it sucks. And then it sucks even more when you want to go out and do, like, whenever you guys are going out and doing stuff, like I just don't have it in me, or like, I feel like I would just be kind of a downer. So I would rather just kind of not do all that. And, so yeah, I mean, you know, like I've said many times before, this is bipolar. I can still find a lot of gratitude in that, in my situation when I'm going through, episodes. You know, there are people that have episodes where they damn near ruin their fucking life every time they have an episode. So mine is not nearly that.
And yeah, you're doing a pretty good job of keeping it.
Yeah, I'm together. Really appreciative of that. But yeah, like I said, you know, just in the spirit of being transparent with you guys, because if you're listening to us every week, if you know, you know, if you've heard me on more than like one episode, you know that that's something that's important to me, and it's something that I like to be transparent about. Struggling a little bit with that, but completely on the other side. And it is, as of recording this, it is May. So
yeah, it's May. May 2nd, I guess, when everybody's listening, or off to May 2nd. But yeah, it's May
so,
now.
May 2nd. So in 13 days, I will be at the beach in Mexico with the woman that I love, who I don't get to see nearly as often as I would like to. So I think that's one of the things that's
keeps you going.
Yeah, really getting me through, you know, working and doing the extra work that I'm having to do to like make up for the amount of time that I will be gone, which is a whole other different thing that I could get into, but doesn't, it's not conducive here. But yes, so the overall answer is kind of going through it right now, but also there's just more things that I can list that, you know, I'm grateful for. And I can,
well, here's another thing that we can talk about that I know you're grateful for, the car.
Yeah, so
the lowering equipment I got that was talked about last week.
I got my lowering equipment on the car, and as often happens, it really just kind of changed the character of the car.
Yeah.
And considering it was, you know, 2-inch drop lowering springs, it's like I didn't realize it would change it quite that much.
Yeah.
I
mean, the car looks great, but you're talking about like the way it feels, right?
Well, yeah, so one of the things about the TSX, the first gen that I've always really liked, is it's a pretty simple, like all things considered, it's a pretty simple looking, we're talking about the first generation. It's a pretty simple looking car. The body lines are very simple, but it's really sporty. You know what I mean? It's really sporty, and it's a luxury sedan, but it's just really thin and like athletic looking. And I've always appreciated that, and I've seen some really, really fucking cool track builds on the first gen TSXs that I really appreciate. I haven't really seen any track builds on my generation, the second generation. And this is not me saying that I'm going to do a track build or anything, because that's not what's going to happen here, but I lowered the car 2 inches, and all of a sudden, like, I lowered the car and then put 15 millimeter spacers front and rear. I actually just ordered 20 mils for the rear to swap out, because all I got to do is roll the fenders and just give it that little extra push, and then it's going to be, like, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I lowered that car 2 inches, it got so much more fucking aggressive.
Like to drive or to
looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because I wouldn't have ever really realized it. Excuse me. On the stock setup, that thing is like really squatty looking and aggressive as shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fenders, I guess. Yeah. Like the fenders are kind of bulgy.
Mm-hmm. And so, then once you fill those out, yeah, it just like completes
so
that
when it's
look,
lower yeah. to the ground, now it has like fucking muscles and yeah. the car looks really like angry and aggressive to begin with.
Yeah.
But then the other thing that I was telling Liam is, and massive shout out to my really, really good friend, Scud. He is going to be on an episode. Obviously you guys have heard us talk about him multiple times, and he actually has a pretty fair amount to do with the loose topic that we're going to be talking about today, because it was a conversation that he and I had while installing said lowering equipment. But anyway, so he has a shop over off Ringgold Road. None of you guys know where that is. Well, anyway, there are some very short, very, very short, but windy roads near his shop. So when we put them on, he was kind of like, hey, you need to test it. So, like, run down to that gas station down there and, like, give me some cigarettes. Where I was like, all right, cool. And so it was like, fuck, I think it was like almost 12:30 at night.
Mm.
And it's not a really high traffic area back there.
Yeah.
So I felt like I didn't really need to, like, sweat cops being back there. So I just leaned into that fucker. Like, there has been, so far, there's going to be a lot more now, but so far there's been probably, like, this was the third time I really leaned into it in that car, and that thing is on rails.
Yeah.
Like, it comes from the factory with a brace bar, sway bars front and rear, and it like surprised the fuck out of me. Like, it handled really well just to begin with on the stock setup, but like, these are like some fucking like Chinese tires.
Yeah.
like I did not, I still don't, you know, certainly wouldn't trust them to go like full bore, especially for like a whole ass mountain run up and down this and that.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit is glued to the ground.
Hell yeah.
Like it is so crazy. And you know, the other thing that kind of Liam brought up that he's right, that I guess I hadn't really thought about because I haven't had the situation a while, but like now I get that, I'm getting that feeling back where it's like you feel this whole other like undercurrent of just feeling really good driving your car because mm-hmm. you know that it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I like. My analogy for it is I've heard a lot of people when they put a steering wheel in their car, like, my car feels so much better now since I put the steering wheel in there. And it's not because the steering wheel improved the performance of the car. It's because the connection that you have to that and the feeling and the fact that your hands are holding the steering wheel. And so that's what you feel through the car. It's very much a similar thing, I think, with the appearance. Like, although dropping the center of gravity of the car is going to increase the performance and widening the track width, it's that, like, connection that you have with doing that and the way that it makes you feel that I think makes it like even better.
Yeah. It's cool, man. I'm really happy. And even, you know, it's still on. I'm honestly, because the factory wheels that it's on are 17s.
Mm.
And the, like, the size is obviously really, really pedestrian. It's really, it's a 17, it's probably like 17 by 7, 7.5 at most.
Yeah.
But it's on, honestly, I can't remember if it's 235 or 245, but they're not like they're not like balloon tires, which I really like.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that setup for like a 17, yeah, you know, you could have a little bit of a smaller sidewall. But, like, for what I have right now, considering I'm not going to touch the wheels or tires anytime soon, it's honestly a surprisingly good look. So,
yeah, I'm a fan.
Overall, once I roll the fenders and get that 20 in the back, like, I'm going to
be set with that.
Really, really, really satisfied.
Which is fucking awesome. I'm so stoked that, you know, you're like finding a way to enjoy yourself with a car again. And I especially it, like, it makes it even cooler that it was just like clearing out the last stock of not fast stuff that helped allow that to happen.
That's kind of
like
funny.
It's kind of like full circle.
Yeah. Really. I hadn't really thought about that poetic connection. You're totally right. Yeah. So thank you again for everybody that cleaned out the rest of that not fast stuff. You know, I really, really appreciate you guys, not only for my lowering equipment, but also just for, you know, supporting Not Fast in its very last moments. So I appreciate you guys.
Well, I think the legacy still legs
on.
Sorry, I just made a Ligma joke in my fucking head. The legacy lives on with all the stuff that you're still doing, and although Not Fast is not a brand anymore, there's no reason that you know, that name and that phrase isn't going to continue with everything that we're doing here.
I was going to say, one thing that always makes me really, really happy is there are at least 5 people. Well, it might be even less. Hold on, let me think. Limitless Corey. It's my friend Corey Marshall.
Yep.
Jesse. What the fuck? Jesse, did I just... I'm pretty sure it's Jess. It's Jesse Romaine. He's down in Birmingham. He's got, like, probably one of the nicest, most involved RX-8s out there, at least in the U.S. He still has a Not Fast banner. Jared Hincher still has a Not Fast banner on his Camaro that he is about to... That Camaro is about to go from like really cool to absolutely fucking monstrous for anybody. I think it's Jared Hincher 518 on Instagram. I'll make sure I get that out by the end of the episode. But like, he has a 60.
Good face.
Yeah, I'm making a good face right now. It's a late 60s Camaro. I want to like say what I know he's doing, but I don't know if like he wants that to be public information.
No,
so
I probably just leave that then.
It's he has some really, really exciting plans for it.
Is it like a pro touring setup, that car? Or?
I mean, right now
it's the one I think it is.
Right now it's just like a street ready Trans Am kind of setup.
Yeah, no, I remember seeing it at Riverside years ago, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a sick car, but it's about to get fucking insane. Oh my God, I feel terrible because there's other people that I know that are stuck in the back of my head that are still running Not Fast stuff. But
well,
I
anyway,
just can't think of
shout
it off
out
the top
to
of my
any
head,
of those people that are continuing the legacy of Not Fast. That's really fucking cool. And that kind of lets me jump into a little bit to say thank you to everybody that's continuing the legacy of LEP, because myself, Benny, and Benny's girlfriend Victoria went to Nashville yesterday, or not Nashville, we went to Lebanon, Tennessee for Slam Enough. And I still, even now, even though I'm not really like that present at shows and stuff, it was really cool to walk around and see so many people wearing LEP stuff still. Like, that's definitely a really fucking cool feeling. And I appreciate all of you guys that have, you know, been a part of it over the years and are still, you know, continuing to wear the stuff. I actually, I wasn't planning to go. And I'd had people messaging me, I think for like the past 2 weeks, like, hey, are you going to be Slammed Enough? And I'm just, no, not gone. You know, I'm just, I don't really have a reason to, you know, we'll probably do something else that weekend. And it just kind of worked out to where me and Ben didn't really have, we were hoping we were going to do a drive and shoot video this weekend, and it just, we didn't. So Friday we were like, oh, should we go to Nashville tomorrow? And yeah, we decided to go. And because I didn't tell anybody that I was going, I actually got to walk around, look at cars, and talk to some people, which was awesome. And the very few people that I did like interact with, I kind of like caught them off guard. Like, as I was walking in, I saw a guy who was wearing a Substance shirt, which shout out to you, whoever you were. I just looked up at him and was like, oh, that's a dope shirt. And he did like a double take. I was like, wait, what the fuck? So I definitely like caught that guy off guard.
I'm not even gonna lie. And I'm not giving you shit because something tells me I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But that is like the most like That is like the most like micro celebrity thing you can possibly do. Because it's like if actual like celebrities 100% would do some shit like that.
Yeah.
It's just such a funny position to be in to be like, hey, nice shirt. Hey.
Well, I mean, I should really stop and just be like, hey, thank you so much for the shirt. We appreciate you.
Are you going to tell me you didn't do that immediately after you did what we just talked about? Because I'm sure that you did.
No. Because we were in a, I did not want to socialize with anybody yesterday. I'm not going to lie. We dressed up really fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah. At the show,
and just like asked people questions.
He was probably like,
well, no, I wasn't in my dumb costume then. I was just like regularly dressed when I walked past him. But thank you to that guy. You're awesome. I appreciate you wearing that shirt. But I saw a lot of people wearing LEP stuff.
This is fucking awesome.
This is him actually saying the stuff that he wanted to tell you.
But anyway, sorry. Continue.
Well, anyway, me acknowledging someone and saying, being like, yo, I love that shirt is kind of me being like, thank you so much for supporting everything that we do.
That's what I was getting.
I'm just awkward.
It's just like, that's such a, I would have done the same shit. Like that's such a fun thing to do. I think just the fact that it is that just makes me laugh. Cause it's like, hey, nice shirt. Hey, you're the guy. And you're like, I am the guy.
But we had a blast yesterday. It was pretty fun. It was nice to walk around and actually see a few cars. And I'm trying to think. Notably, some of the cars that stuck around in my head, there was a Z3 M Coupe, you know, the clown shoe.
Oh, I love clown shoes.
It was silver.
Shout out to my friend Andres. I legitimately don't even know if he still lives in the US, but he had a silver clown shoe on CCW Classics in Atlanta.
Hmm.
One of the cleanest clown shoes like ever.
Well, this one was silver as well. It had the Kansai tandem wheels on it, which I know a lot of people like don't really like them or whatever, but
which one's
It's the one that looks like an R34 stock kind of, but it's got a lot of concave.
Just wanted to make sure.
Really good looking wheel on that car. I'm pretty sure it was bagged, fitted real well. And those cars have such like aggressive rear arches, like such wide hips that anything fender to lip on that car is just going to look absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And this car was great. And I felt really awkward because when I noticed the car, it was when I was dressed up really stupid. And so I made it a point to show the car in the video that we were recording, and I'm holding this stupid fucking mic. I'm dressed up like I'm in like the late 90s. So
the dude probably sees you like, oh no.
Yeah, he did see, and like I noticed that he could see that we were like recording, and I made it a point to go and be like, hey, I know we look stupid. I promise I am not talking shit about the car. I'm actually complimenting it and telling more people to do cool shit like this. And we ended up getting like a 10-minute conversation with him and his buddies. And I met one of his friends. I don't remember his name. I do apologize, but he was really cool. He was actually talking about the podcast and brand stuff and how it's been, you know, really cool for him to listen to me talk so openly about, you know, stuff and issues that I've been running into with the brand and how, you know, it's relatable for him. And I definitely appreciate hearing that feedback because it's cool to get, you know, some of the things that I'm not super comfortable sharing a lot of the time, to hear that it does actually like help people or, you know, somebody else gets something from it. Definitely allows me to feel like I can open up about more of that stuff.
Not for nothing, just as it happens, as you were saying that, there was a little dialogue in my brain talking about, like, should I talk about when I'm in my episodes? But then I have no idea why my brain was, like, thinking about that as you were saying that.
I think it is good to be open and transparent about stuff.
I think it is. Like, I think that... You can talk to anybody that's close to me. Like at this point in my life, I'm generally about as open as you can be.
Yeah.
As a person. And my thing is, and will always be that. So in my life, relationships are everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me as an individual, the most important thing in my life is not a material thing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all the relationships that I have and that I put my energy into. And I've found that something that all really good, really, I was about to say substantial, but I literally feel like that's like a no-no word to say because it just sounds like you're trying to make a joke if you say it on this podcast. But like any worth, you know, worthwhile, really meaningful relationships, I feel like the more you're open about who you are, how you feel, you know, what you're feeling, we're all humans, man. And it's like the thing about it is, you know, I know that there's everybody in every place in the spectrum out there about like, you know, what can you share? What can you not, you know, who are you comfortable with? Who are you not? And all of this stuff. And that's valid and it's fair and it makes total sense, you know? Because there are certainly places where it's not a good place to share, you know, what sensitive, important information, you know, it's just, again, the discretion is part of being a human, but like, I think all of that talking to say, like, in the context of this podcast, any of you who have been following us for a little while will probably know by now that it's important for me to share this kind of stuff. And it kind of made me chuckle a little bit that I was having that inner dialogue as you were talking, like, should I have said something about my episode? Because, you know, it makes sense because, like, you know, if I'm going to come out and be like, yeah, I have bipolar disorder, it's not like it's going to be like a weird movement to be like, yeah, I'm currently experiencing the negative effects of that disorder. Yeah. So,
another thing, actually, going back to something, that, I mean, I guess it kind of ties into that, but some stuff that happened yesterday. There's quite a few people that know me, you know, came up and said, hey, and whatever to me. And I want to reiterate a little bit on some of the stuff that I talked about with Riverside, where, and I get it, not everybody knows because not everybody listens to this podcast or whatever, but the people that know me will still come up and ask me the same questions about the things that I like address very openly on the internet about everything. And I did kind of come to a realization that a lot of the people that were asking me these questions they were asking out of concern. There's quite a few people that I guess know me that seem to be like concerned about me right now because I'm like stopping LEP and blah blah blah.
You're making a lot of changes.
But I don't know, it threw me for a weird loop and I was thinking about it a lot last night and it kind of like, it actually like bothered me a lot. It was like, these are all people that if they actually genuinely cared, they would already know the answer to a lot of those questions and they would know that I'm fine. I'm doing totally okay. And they would know why I'm stopping doing LEP. Like if you actually cared about somebody, like you would just, it takes you 10 seconds to go and find where the answer to that question is. But instead, they wait until they see me in person to bring up something that's like super personal and I don't want to talk about. And I don't know, it kind of bothered me. It like kind of annoys me when people that act like they're my friends or they care about me won't go out of their way to like figure out what it is that's going on. And then they jump to the conclusion that like everything is going wrong in my life. And then instead of actually,
I'm certainly not taking their side, but I am going to stay tuned as that simmers more for you, because here's what I would inject. It's like, it's a very real possibility that to whatever degree they do care. You know what I mean? No, they're not like close, because if they were your close friends, they would fucking know that.
No, but I know, but everything like, that is going on is out there.
Let me put it this way. You said just like take 10 seconds and whatever. You have hundreds of hours of video content. So I'm not really sure it's quite fair to be like, just take 10 seconds, go through all of my episodes, find out. No. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I get what you mean. It's kind of like that's, you know, the barrier to entry is there. So it's like if you're not.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of, you're right. I don't need to expect that everybody needs to watch and take in all of the stuff that I put out there. It's just, if you are actually genuinely concerned, I feel like you should already know the answer. And the answer is, I'm totally fine. I'm totally fine. I'm figuring my own things out. I have enough self-awareness to know when something is not working and to change it. I just get really, really tired of talking about the same things and over again and having to repeat myself and basically just beat the dead horse that is my own failures. Like, nobody wants to have to deal with their own failures and then have to like tell the rest of the world a million times over.
And I certainly like, can understand that because that's exactly what happened, you know, after KnotFast. Like, yeah. I had some people that were really good friends of mine that, and I'm not upset with them for this at all whatsoever, but like it was kind of, especially in like when it was still really fresh.
Yeah.
Where they'd be like, hey, like, you know, I hope it comes back. Like, what happened? Are you going to bring it back? This and that. And I was just kind of like, it's gone, dude. Like, it's gone for a reason. Like, if it comes back, it comes back. But, you know, and I'm not like saying this as a slant, not as a slight towards you.
No, with what you just said,
but it's like, the thing that I just kept trying to think about whenever that situation popped up was like, they were legitimately interested in what I was doing or else they wouldn't have asked. Well, but it's just kind of like, it just feels shitty. And that, in that situation, it's just not a good feeling for you. Cause it's like you said, it's kind of like, yeah, you are correct. Like, I failed at this thing that I did for a long time. Thank you for reminding me. Like,
well, I think that the reason I take it so personally with some of these things is these are people that, and I'm not talking about the people that have actually been like supportive of the things that I do over the years. I'm talking about the people that just kind of know of me. They're not really friends. They're just people we know each other. We've met over the years or whatever. They've never supported anything that I've done in like any way. Oh, and then they're just like popping up all of a sudden.
Now I'm understanding
and that, acting like they care about
that
it.
Changes
and like
the dynamic.
They're
yes.
so concerned. Like, are you doing okay? I'm like,
Don't worry about it. Yeah. You wouldn't care if I wasn't standing right in front of you.
Exactly.
Just like, do your thing and I'll do mine. It's fine.
If I'd never put it out there that like, hey, I'm stopping LEP, these people would have never known.
Right.
If they hadn't have seen the fucking headline that says no more LEP, they would never know. They don't actually go in and look. And it's the authenticity thing.
No,
it's people
see,
faking
that,
to like care about what I have going on. That's what bothers me.
I think I misunderstood.
I did not communicate that properly.
Now I know that people
who are actually friends and have been supportive and know, you know, the work and stuff that I've put in over the years, I'm not talking about those people at all.
One thing for myself that I've always found kind of like good, I guess.
Good
is I would venture to say for like for as much of my life as I, you know, knew how to be socially aware.
Mm.
I have understood the value of silence.
Yeah.
Both in like a direct sense, as in you're talking to somebody and you just kind of like use silence, whether to like give them a moment to think or like you know what I'm saying? Like a very like real time thing, but also silence and just not saying anything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so it's like in a situation like that, like if I know of you, but I don't like know you in that scenario, It's almost harder for me to like walk up and try to make like weird conversation with you to appear.
Yeah.
That I'm like interested in what you have going on as opposed to be like, oh, look, it's Liam. We're just going to I can be like, yo, what's up, Liam? And then that's it. You don't have to do like, just do your thing.
I know. Well, like,
it's not a big deal.
The thing that goes on in my head is like, yeah, I'm getting this feeling already that you don't care about what it is that I have going on. And the answer that I'm giving you is totally redundant because you're just gonna be like, oh, okay, cool.
Exactly.
It's like, what? No.
And that's what I'm talking about.
It's like, I want to go to the car show to enjoy myself and look at cars and stuff. Like I've said before, I don't want to be there and just fucking talk about the shit that I have going on, especially to people that don't actually care.
Right. Okay. Now that it's contextualized, I completely understand.
Yeah. But anyways, back to how the day was yesterday. It was pretty sick. A couple other cars that I can mention that were really cool. There was I just realized in my head, all of these cool cars were BMWs. What's happening? Okay, no. I, I'll I'll point out a couple others just because I don't want to be... I'm not a fucking BMW fanboy. Why am I doing this?
Because a cool car is a cool car.
That's fair. That's fair. So there was an F80 M3 that was this like super bright blue, like baby blue, real bright.
The factory...
I don't know BMW if it's factory color.
Is it kind of like an opaque sky blue?
No, this thing was not opaque whatsoever. Like, it was pretty bright. But it's like a sky blue, yeah. But it was like, the saturation was not turned down on that thing.
I think
it could be an individual color or it could be a wrap. I didn't look crazy in detail.
I believe it's a factory BMW color on those cars. But anyway, continue.
It had a white interior and then...
Oh, God.
What do you mean, God?
I mean, no, that's cool, but like whenever
to keep clean.
Whenever I think of a white interior, I just want to be 100 feet away from the car, because I know that if I like sneeze, it's like game over for the interior. So,
but for some reason, this color combo was absolutely fire. Just the blue with the white, and then it had like a pretty busy faced wheel. It was just like a one piece wheel that was bagged on, but it was like a brushed, finished, you know, pretty bright, and the car just looked really, really good. It didn't need to be anything crazy. It was a very simple setup, and that was that. Another BMW, there was an E36 compact, which you never see over here.
That's the little
it's an E36 coupe,
the little compact
that got rear-ended basically. It wasn't the cleanest car, but it's like a dark green color, and I was just stoked to see a compact. I can't believe
I just run that back like 10 seconds. Did you hear/see what I just did?
What
I did it with my hands, so only YouTube would have known what was going on. I was like, oh, are you talking about the one that...
Compact, yeah.
But why did I have to make the...
I have no idea. But it's like an E36 coupe that's been rear-ended, basically, is how the shape of that thing looks.
They're called like TIs or something, right?
Or, I don't know if that's what they're called here, but I just call it a compact over in England.
I think over here, I think there's a TI at the end of the number. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
You know, it was not the cleanest car by any means, but it was just a unique chassis. Like, I never really see anybody do anything cool with compacts because it's a weird looking car. It's not desirable.
I've seen one of those drifting. I'm pretty sure it was in the UK, but...
Oh, no, there's so many of them drifting.
Oh, okay.
Because they're even cheaper than the regular
fucking... because that's...
E36s are like £500 in England.
That's almost like hilariously good chassis for drifting because it's a short wheelbase, but there's a bunch of fucking weight in the back.
The wheelbase is the same.
Is the same?
Yeah, it's just it just doesn't have the big trunk. It's a hatch instead of having like a extended trunk.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, somebody may correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the wheelbase is the same. But like the reason you'll see them as drift cars is because E36s in the UK are like £500 at talking money. They're like 500 quid. And then a fucking compact's probably like 50 quid because nobody fucking wants them. So no, it was, you know, the car wasn't anything crazy. It was just, it was cool to see somebody take that chassis and do something cool with it here in the US because I know it's just unordinary. And that's all it took really for me to be like, oh, that's cool. I like that. Couple other cars. There is a 300ZX that had the stock wheels, three-piece converted, that was really cool.
The five-spoke stock wheels?
No, it's not a five-spoke. I don't remember exactly what the wheel is, and I couldn't describe it, but...
You said a 300ZX, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like a Z32? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't remember what the stock looks like exactly, but... The car is really clean.
I love Z32 so much.
So do I.
I love them so much. The fucking, obviously, the VGs in them are like infamously awful to work on.
Yes.
But like those, there was a very short amount of time where I was like really hooked on the idea of like getting one from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they are just so like...
It's just a good-looking car.
It is, but, like, there's so futurism, too. Like, that's, you know, I don't even have to say that shit anymore. Like, they're just so futurism. They're just, like, really low and sleek, and you have the tails that are, like, the fucking literally just illuminated, like, lines. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really fucking cool.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of those cars, too. Trying to think, what else did I see that was pretty interesting? I saw a lot of stuff that was just not of interest whatsoever. There was...
What a graceful British way to say that.
Yeah, there was a...
I saw a lot of things that were just not interesting just, at all whatsoever. Yep.
There was a GS400, which for me, I get excited about because if anything has a 1UZ in it, I'm going to be excited. But yeah, there was a GS400 that was not only like the cleanest fucking example I've ever seen.
Really?
It was stock, but it had like 24-inch wheels on it.
24s?
Yeah. Probably, it might have been bigger, dude. It could have been 26s. This thing was fucking jacked up. But
really?
This thing was like bone stock, cleanest example I've ever seen.
What color was it?
It was a kind of a burnt orangey red color. It's like it's a factory color. It's a really weird.
It's like more red than orange, right?
I want to say so, yeah.
Okay.
It's like blood orange, kind of.
I swear to God, I don't know enough about it. If it's the same color as Joey's fucking IS, I would be, that's pretty cool.
Maybe. I don't remember exactly. Because
now I didn't know, so but keep talking, but I'm going to pull up
either way, the car was like stupidly, stupidly clean, and I just get excited because it's a 1UZ car, and for some reason, I'm just like destined to own every 1UZ chassis ever now. The guy was in the car slightly later in the day. He was bumping some music because he had a system in the thing. And I tried to buy it off of him and he wouldn't sell it. So I was honestly, dude, I would have driven it.
Is it this color?
I want to say it's slightly more red than that. Okay. But it's very, very similar to that color. Cool. But yeah, it was, I don't know. It was just stupidly clean.
Oh my God.
Like stupidly clean. Other than that, there was... I don't even know if I want to mention this, but there.
This will be good. I have no idea where it's going.
No. But. It's not anything like that bad, but it kind of just like it irked me slightly. There's a Y33 Cedric.
Okay.
Or Gloria. I believe it's a Cedric. Beautiful car. I know the car because I know that it came from Driver Motorsport. It's very clean. I also know how much it sold for at Driver Motorsport. And it was a slight disappointment to me to see it sitting on ESR wheels with fake Junction Produce neck pads, pillows, and like it just
leave it.
It should have been left stock or like exactly the way that it was, and it would have been absolutely perfect.
I'm left to assume that it had real shit on it before.
I don't know. Well, no. I think it did. I think it had Volk wheels on it before. Like
those God.
Those like Volk 5 spokes, I want to say. I'm not 100% on that, but like it's a really clean, it's a turbo car too. It's really nice and it's for sale. And I like tried to make a trade offer for it the other day, like before I saw it this weekend for the Majester, and it got like shot down so quick.
Yeah.
They're like, nope, not interested. Cedric's worth hella money. And I was like, I mean, based on like how much I know that Cedric was,
yeah,
the Majesta is actually a good flip, like for a trade.
Yeah.
And then seeing it in person and just like, I knew it had ESRs on it. I was like, oh, whatever. That's just wheels. But then I saw I never understand why people put fake Junction Produce neck pads in a car. Why wouldn't you just buy plain neck pads?
Yes,
because they're so, if you buy fake JP, it's so obvious that it is not real Junction Produce, because they always have this like, they always have a completely different shape.
Well, and you'll be spending infinitely less too, because you could just go on like fucking Alibaba and just buy literally whatever color for like 12 cents per neck pad.
Like if you're trying to save the money, yeah, just get the plain ones. Because if you buy the fake ones, it's so obvious that they're fake.
Yeah,
that it just looks really bad. And yeah, the $18,000.
Is what he's asking?
$1,000, yes. Yeah. Anyways, it is a really nice, clean car. And, you know, if somebody does buy it, I really hope you didn't pay that much for it. But he, yeah, when I made the trade offer, the guy sent me a listing for one that's on Driver Motorsport right now that has control arms, Ordens in good specs, like carbon fucking headlight bezels, like nice parts on it.
Tit for tat, Liam.
That's for
tit
sale.
Tit for tat, dude.
For $18,000. He's like,
it's tit for tat, dude. Never mind. We're gonna get into talking shit about it.
I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to like hate on people's stuff. But it's just
I'm stopping myself.
Yeah,
I'm not stopping you. I'm stopping myself.
Well, I don't want to be that guy, but it's a really nice car, and I hope that if somebody does buy it, they really love it.
Yeah,
but change everything. Get rid of all of that.
So there you go. This is what you guys can take away from this. Anybody listening? If you're thinking about buying fake Junction Produce, stop. Go to Alibaba. Get the exact same color of JP stuff you were going to get for 50 cents per neck pad. And just get that.
With no JP.
And then save for, how much are JP headrests? They're probably like obscene now, I'm sure. But
it's like $200 a pair. So okay. It's like $400 to get four neck pads, which is a lot, but you understand how bad it looks to have the fake ones.
Even still, you can buy them. Like if you have all four Alibaba neck pads that are like match your interior, you can literally get like, let's say you want to get all four, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, fuck, I only have $200. Well, go donate plasma. Get enough for the Alibaba stuff and then spend your $200 hockey pucks on the actual JP, put them in the front of the car. So when everybody's looking at your car, they're like, it has a real, and then just keep the Alibaba ones in the back seats. And then when you have enough to get your second pair of JP, there you go.
Fair enough.
There's your fucking life hack right there. So that's what your takeaway is from this. Just get really cheap, generic neck pads and then save up for the real shit. This is what I'm realizing. All of the talking that we do all of the time. There's always, and I know this better than anyone, there's always an alternative to be had.
Yes.
That is not garbage.
Yes.
And you can bide your time.
Yes.
Without just being like, I'm just going to get the fake anything of any. It's like, no. Just slow down.
Right.
Just slow down. Think about the most strategic way you can do something. And it kind of goes back to the Big Dick Jimmy attitude, right? Mm. Because with that car, I currently love how it looks. I think it looks great.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna pull up to a fucking meet like I have something special. Right. You're still gonna catch me parking in the lot across the street, right? That's the thing about for me. That's the thing about it is it's like if you want to have like a big, you know, I was about to say big flashy. It's like we always talk about if your car is not where you want it to be, but you want to take little half steps because that's all you can do. That's okay,
right?
Just be strategic about it, I guess, is like what I'm getting at. Like, there's always, y'all, vision and execution. You have what you want the car to be like, and you can just carefully select the steps that you're going to take to get you to where that is. Yeah. Am I going to be on lowering springs and stock wheels forever? Absolutely fucking not.
No, but you're not trying to sell your car for a huge profit.
Either. Well, there's that too. That's the whole other thing. But like, I'm just using that to be like,
we don't even need to.
There's other half steps.
The argument can be turned around on me too, because there's definitely a lot of people out there that would be like, damn, I mean, you're selling the Majesta for $16,000. It's a Majesta, which, you're right. You know, Majestas aren't worth crazy amounts of money, but the difference is there's not that many that are super, super low miles, have been taken like insanely good care of, and are in that kind of condition. yeah, $16,000 is a high, but that's a starting price. That's not like, and I also haven't like put a bunch of cheap parts on it, expecting it to like doll it up or make it, you know, worth more to someone. Like,
right.
The car is a very nice example of a Crown Majesta, and it is a great start platform. And if somebody made me the right offer, it would be gone. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, moving on from that, you know, slamming off was a good day. And the video that we filmed there is going to be interesting and entertaining and probably pretty stupid, but you know, anybody that's
it'll be stupid. Y'all need to see what these fools were fucking wearing. And over there.
For any of you guys that did see us wandering around looking like dickheads, I couldn't tell you what that was, but we were having fun and trying to find like
a I'm like yawning and laughing. At the time it looks and feels really chaotic.
But
I'm like
The idea behind us doing like, we dressed up really stupid and had this like dumb microphone. The idea was that we were going to go and interview people. And I started out, I was like, yeah, want to just like ask some dumb questions that, you know, we'll get some funny answers out of whatever.
You know, but it would have been like a really fucking hilarious Eric Andre way for you to do that.
What?
Just like, well, I guess you kind of talked about it earlier, but it's like if you walk up to people like that and dress like that, and then you're like, do you currently attend therapy regularly? Like, you just ask them like a really serious question. They're like, the fuck is going on? Yeah. Why?
No, so I actually turned it into, I wanted to use it as a way to show off like vendors at the event, like show off some of their products, but do it in like a really shitty way. I don't know. This was the idea behind it. I couldn't tell you if this is how it will come out or come across. It may all end up just getting scrapped. But basically I was just going up to vendors and kind of like asking really dumb questions, but still like showing off their products. So hopefully it just comes across as a video that's like entertaining to watch.
Even if this gets scrapped, and I would like to see the footage.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't even gone through it yet, so I couldn't tell you how any of it came out, but some notable things. I did get my shirt ripped off, which is a bit that I am doing because it's really fucking funny. And I love messing with Evan from Deviant. They posted a video clip about, they posted a video clip earlier in the week about Nashville saying, hey, if I can rip the shirt off of your back, I'll give you a discount on a Deviant shirt. So I wore my Deviant shirt and had them rip it off my back for them to ask me which shirt I would like. And then I just put an LEP shirt on. And I would only do that to Evan because it's Evan and I love fucking with him. But the video is going to be really funny. Just the clip, like Instagram reel clip that I put together with that, mixing their clip of like, hey, have we ripped the shirt off of your back, blah, blah, blah. And then me getting my shirt ripped off and putting an LEP one on it. I think it'll be pretty funny. But yeah, it was fun. And we drove back like super late last night and I was driving the Majesta like super fast the whole way home. It's like a 2.5 hour drive back from Nashville. And I was cruising at like 100 mph the whole way. And that car is fantastic at highway, like at high speeds. It is one of the best cruising cars ever. My LS was the same, but the Majesta just feels slightly better because when it is dark, it's nighttime. That digital dash and the heads up display is one of the coolest looking things when you're cruising at higher speeds, especially when, you know, the dash says like 150, 160 kilometers an hour, which your brain just interprets
like way faster.
Yeah. And then also it has the like pretty rare Toyota wind guards for the windows, and because they're like frameless windows, it's all one piece that goes from like the bottom all the way back. And we were from leaving Nashville till we got maybe past Murfreesboro, we had the windows down, all of them.
Really?
And it was late last night, and it's like, it's decently warm outside. It was one of the best feelings ever. Had no music, windows down, just doing like 100 for 20 minutes straight.
I miss driving with the windows down. When spring hates you like it hates me,
yeah.
Driving with the windows down is basically my worst nightmare. Like, if you can imagine, I literally imagine it like some weird, like, PSA video or something where it just shows like a diagram of the eyeball and then you just see like a bunch of little yellow pellets just absolutely fucking destroying it.
Yeah.
That's me when at the idea of like driving with my windows down right now.
Yeah.
I think
that sucks.
Somehow
you're missing out on that experience.
Somehow I have avoided for this long realizing / learning that you can go to like an allergy clinic and they can do some kind of like some type of treatment plan or something that basically like
just do like a nose delete or something.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Just
get rid of that
nose delete.
Yeah.
So no, it's like I don't remember how, but then the other thing, and I guess this is my L to take, honestly, but for years at this point, people are like, local honey, just get local honey. Local honey. And I'm like, oh yeah. People have been telling me that for literal years and I still have not tried it. Apparently, because it's like
it allows your, it's like a vaccine.
It's like a weird immunity thing. Yeah. So it would be pretty hilariously infuriating for me to finally get some fucking local honey one of these days.
And that fixes it.
And it just fixes it. But I've spent, you know, like a good month and a half at this point just absolutely dying inside.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick.
So are you just avoiding trying that because you don't
want to? No, I'm sitting here talking about it. I'm like, I should go do that today, but I probably won't. No. I mean, like I have other shit I have to do today, so it'll probably get lost in the shuffle and I'll just continue to shuffle. And the bees, as they fly by me, are just like, you fucking idiot.
I don't think the bees are thinking about that, to be honest. But anyways,
judgmental bees.
Enough of that. We've done an hour of just basically giving an update. That's
bullshit.
That's pretty impressive, but this is about time we can pull right into this week's, or not even this week, this episode's, this show's sponsor, which we love, Wheel Price. And before I even,
it's pronounced Beal Price.
Beal Price.
I'm so sorry.
What the fuck?
We were just talking about bees. Nothing. Yeah. Never mind.
Anyways, our show sponsor, Wheel Price. And before I even get into telling you guys what it is, there was some shit on Wheel Price this week that was like super interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but somebody listed five sets of Blitz 03s for $30,000 on Wheel Price.
$30,000 for five sets,
which I mean, do the math on that. How much is
it's
that?
Like
how much
6, is that? 6,000 per set.
Yeah. Around that. Like,
I have no idea what Blitz prices look like right now.
That sounds
but
about right. Which is insane.
$6,000 for a set of wheels. Are you fucking insane?
Well, why would you want just a set of wheels when you can have five sets of overpriced wheels?
No. Okay. Hold on. Slow down. Is there legitimately people in their right mind paying $6,000 for a set of four wheels?
Yes. Blitz 03s for the past year have been selling for insane prices.
That is the most absurd thing that I have ever heard.
It's
I could literally
wild.
Sit here for 36 hours talking nonstop, giving you a list of things that I could buy with $6,000. That is so much money.
You know what I'm going to do?
For a set of wheels.
You know what I'm going to do for the sake of making this
you
way?
You can literally probably get raced used like fucking LMGTs off of like
probably
fucking endurance Nissan cars for less than that.
What I'm going to do?
That is just the most absurd thing I've heard all day.
Just to make this way more interesting, I'm going to search
sorry,
for
Wheel
wheels.
Price. This got like really chaotic.
No,
but
we're going to go on Wheel Price and I'm going to look up and see what other wheels we can get for $6,000.
What if it was just like all of them?
What do you got? We got a set of Rotiform TUF-R.
Well, those have tires.
They have tires on them.
Pilot Sport 4Ss. So those tires are probably like a good 600 per tire. Well, I don't know if it's that much.
You can get a set of Rotiforms.
They're steep.
You can get a set of Rotiforms for Porsche with tires. Like I said, Pilot Sport 4Ss, $4,600. TE37s with tires, $4,500. Brand new 19-inch TE37s. Less than $6,000. Fuck, there's so many wheels on here BMW style 21 wheels that are multi-piece, $4,500. Some, what are these? Formula GT wheels for an R8, 20 inch.
Whoa.
1552 slow down, Formula cousin. GT.
Let me see that.
For less than the price of one of the sets.
Those are nice, but I definitely thought it was like a whole ass like center.
Yeah.
Centerboard racer.
Anyways, let's just pull up this thing, the Blitz 03s, because it's insane. Yep. Five sets of Blitz 03s for $30,000 on the Wheel Price app. We've got five sets. Two of the sets are 18 by 10 plus 22, which is a pretty go-to drift spec. And then three are 17s by 8 and 17s by 9. So basically, these are for drift cars. Who is paying $6,000 per set of wheels for
apparently
their drift cars?
Apparently somebody.
But that's crazy. Damn, that's a lot of center caps.
Fucking, that is a lot.
But yeah, if you guys are curious to the type of thing that you could find on Wheel Price, not necessarily saying you should buy this, there's a lot of cool wheel options on Wheel Price.
Including $30,000 worth of Blitz 03s.
But yeah, go check out the app because it's a really, really cool app. It's a great place for buying and selling wheels. And as you can see, there's a lot of unique different setups on there. And just using the Blitz 03s as an example, I don't like, is that for real?
Let me steal that from you really quick.
Anyways, Wheel Price is a really good place for you to buy and sell wheels. So if you're looking for your next set of wheels or you are looking to sell your current set, and get a different set of wheels, or you look for trades, whatever. Wheel Price is a great place for that. It's set up just like the classifieds were back in the day. Oh, bro.
Yo, what?
They really...
No!
Camera really just did that. Well, at this point, this is where the YouTube section
ends.
My camera just overheated. Well, anyways, this is where the YouTube section of this podcast ends. As I'll finish with Wheel Price, thank you so much to them for being a sponsor on this show. We absolutely love them. And all of the links are in the description to go check out the app and also the website. Go check them out. It's a really, really cool place to buy and sell wheels, and we appreciate them being a part of this show. And if you want to go find the Blitz 03s, you're interested, maybe.
if you have $30 to burn in wheel investments.
$30, you mean $30,000. Yeah. If you would like to invest in the Blitz 03 coin.
But let's be honest in the worst possible way. With the way that they're going and have been going for what sounds like a year or 2 years now. Don't get me wrong. It is quite insane, but it could also very much be a long con kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah, definitely could. But anyways.
Blitzcoin. You're totally right.
For all of the YouTube watchers, I do apologize. The camera is unfortunately toasted for the rest of this episode, so we will be cutting off the visual part of this. And if you would like to listen to the rest of this episode, please go over to Spotify and Apple Podcasts, not at the same time, just one or the other.
Best part of the episode is going to be only on Spotify, so
yeah we're going to get into some stuff right now, but appreciate all of the people on YouTube for tuning in. Anyways, so you had something that you wanted to get onto.
So
I want to get into that.
This is something that I was telling Liam about that I think it's just going to be a valuable conversation to have. Liam and his wizarding ways are going to try and kind of relate it back to cars at whatever points that he can. But it was a conversation that I had with my friend Scud as we were putting on the lowering equipment on my car. And Scud, aside from being a genius at basically everything, is also an extremely talented musician and music producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has a producing studio in a back room at his shop that he built, because he built his shop to be this really huge, cool, like living space. with a studio and three lifts. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Pretty much exactly where I want to live.
Yeah, I
want it.
So anyhow, we kind of found our way in there at one point. You know, and he had shown me a song that he had done with zero context, and you know, it was something like I was like, oh fuck, this is good. Who is this? And he just kind of smiled at me. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, it's me. I'm like, shut the fuck up. No, it's not. He's like, no, it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah. I was like, all of it? He's like, yeah, man. Come on, I'll show you. And so sure enough, he brings me in his, you know, his recording studio where he has like his huge fucking pilot goddamn like setup with all the buttons and clicks and switches and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he was just kind of showing me just a lot of different stuff. I was just kind of standing there in awe, to be honest with you. I probably retained about 50% of it just because I was so like blown away by what I was watching. But, you know, so I had never seen, I didn't really know of that about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the first part of this is, and this is just about nothing car related actually, but this is something that I found really cool was, that was kind of that reminder of how fucking cool it is to watch somebody, anybody, operate like in their element, mm-hmm. doing something that they're, you know, really enjoy or they're really good at or whatever. You know, I mean, that's the thing about it, that's anything. You don't want to like weirdly loosely relate it to cars. Pit crews taking wheels off and putting wheels back on cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've done it and practiced it so much, it's just all one fluid motion, and you can't do anything else but be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we got into a conversation that kind of turned to me briefly at the beginning, where we were talking about how, you know, artwork is, you know, for, I would say, most, if not all of my life, artwork has been kind of like my thing. It's been the thing that I really enjoy. And, you know, the past couple of years, and I'm sure I'm pretty positive I mentioned on the podcast before, but like, I started out being a traditional medium artwork. What
the fuck? You were a traditional medium piece of artwork? Matt was a piece of paper.
My brain is literally working at like 85% right now. Okay. I am a traditional media artist. I have since kind of like played around a lot with like Procreate, and I'm trying to learn more about that whenever I can because I really enjoy using it. So technically, I use digital media now also.
Yeah.
But the point is, for my entire life, artwork has always been something that, to whatever degree, I really enjoyed doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me also, though, I also have very much, this may sound contradictory because maybe it is, but I have a very love-hate relationship with artwork. Part of that comes because of, not to always fall back on being bipolar, but because I am bipolar, you know, there are certainly times where, you know, my emotional state and my mental state very much affect what I'm creating, you know, what I want.
And I mean, I can relate into that too, because we're both artists, you know, we're both very creative people, and that's why me, you and Benny get along really well, is because right. we all share those same core values as far as us being creative people. I run into that issue a lot of the time too. You know, you get burnt out on stuff, or, you know, you've got enough things going on in your personal life that affect your emotions and things and stop you from being able to focus the way that you would like to on expressing
right.
yourself.
Right. And you just don't have the energy. And that was, you know, that's been something that I struggle with a lot for my, you know, for most of my life. And obviously, I'm sure anybody else who is a creative of any kind will agree with yeah. that. You know, it's like the amount of energy you have or don't have to put into your creative endeavors is the deciding factor for all of that stuff. So when you have a lot going on, it can become a chore, which I mean, really sucks because, you know, ideally that's something that you really enjoy, especially if you feel like that's like a defining factor for you. So, you know, at a glance, just.
That's one of the things art is something that comes from soul.
Right.
It's a heart driven thing. You know, it isn't, I mean, for some people, maybe it is motivated differently, but at least for us, it's driven by soul. And if your heart is not in the right place, it becomes really difficult to do it. It becomes a chore.
Yeah. And so we kind of got into a conversation where Scud was talking to me about, like, you know, the stuff that I make, and, you know, why I don't like try and do more with it. And there were, you know, there was a number of things that I talked about. There was a unbelievably small shout out to the Collective podcast by one of my favorite artists of all time, Ash Thorpe. It is extremely long form content, so you'd have to like really be into it. But he basically does interviews with really, really prolific, like various media, but mostly digital media, render, 3D, CGI artists.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that you learn in listening through those is, like, if you want to be like a legitimate commercial artist, there's no reality that you can do that and succeed. There's no reality in which you can do all of that without being somebody who can have or can force themselves to have a consistent output of good work. Now, you know, that obviously takes into account the amount of work that you hate, that you consider failures, but you're learning from. But, you know, for me, my relationship is a little different with it. As much as I could funnel all of my energy into trying to find, like, overarching commercial success with what I do creatively,
I
certainly want to find commercial success. Obviously, like we talked about however many episodes ago, I'm going to channel all of that energy into what we're doing here. But I digress. It's really hard. And it's been really hard for me for years now, just because I'm constantly like, I very rarely find myself in, you know, save for a few days, I'll find myself in a position where I'm like, I feel like I have enough room to just breathe and like sit down and draw.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about me that can be very difficult is I have all of these like mental hangups about myself and my own artwork that I would say about 50% of the time I won't even finish. Doesn't matter what I started, I won't finish it because I get so frustrated and in my head by the middle of the process. I'm like, you know, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. And so, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, really good conversation that we had to arrive to what I'm about to start talking about. But ultimately, he and I started talking about the concept of, even if you feel like, you know, in creating something, you are not... Okay, let me put it this way. I, as an individual, I think of myself as creative, but I do not and have never thought of myself as original. I think there are people that, you know, make art or create just in any way, really. And I digress for 2 seconds. I know for a fact that I have said it on this podcast because this applies to everything. At this point in history, originality doesn't really exist. I think,
right.
I think there's like maybe 0.05% of anything that's created is like original enough that it could be considered like a new thing.
Right.
That being said, I'm not losing sleep over the fact that I'm not coming out with completely original content, because when you look at it like that, nobody is, right? But I do want to be original enough and have the tools to create something where I can confidently be like, I did that. And I think it would be a challenge for somebody else to do it to the level at which I executed it.
Yeah.
I don't have that confidence. And I think that as an artist, to whatever degree, you'll always be chasing that confidence.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do any kind of creative endeavor, you know, at a really consistent level where you will outwardly identify with that, you know, I think there's going to be points in time where you're able to step back and be like, I have that.
Yeah.
I have reached a starting point where I feel like wherever I go from here will be a pretty distinct, you know, thing. And, you know, I struggle with that. I say it a lot in a joking matter. But my friend DJ in Michigan is a really close friend of mine, arguably one of, he and Totem are basically tied for like my biggest artistic influences, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because, like I said, I say it jokingly that I'm like a Walmart version of DJ,
mm-hmm.
but like, it's like 50% serious when I say that, because it's funny in the weirdest way in that, like, when I look at my work and then I look at DJ's work, it's kind of like I'm on the same trajectory. I'm just late. Like, I'll get into something and I'm like, oh shit. And then like, oh, DJ did that like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's not a problem with that, especially considering that it's like, it's not me following him around being like, oh, you know, taking like, oh, I got to do this.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's just kind of like a natural progression. But because I'm so like, I take so much inspiration and influence from him, mm-hmm. to some degree, it's kind of like inevitable. But anyhow, because that's something that I struggle with, that I feel like I don't have my thing. Even though I'm technically skilled to whatever degree that may be, I don't think it's that high. Other people will tell me differently, but you know, every artist hates most of their work. But that aside, the one thing that Scud and I came to that was a really, really cool idea that I had never really like even thought about in that light.
Mm.
The only thing that we all have that quite literally cannot be copied is the creative process.
Yep.
Like the creative process that you have as a person. And it was kind of like you were talking about, you know, art is you expressing like your heart and soul. You know, I because I'm weird, like I word it a little differently these days, but like the thing about your creative process is your creative process more than anything is you, because like that's the good, the bad, the weird, the annoying, the organ, like that's all of that stuff.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like that's, for me, that is all of like these really difficult feelings of like frustration and inadequacy and just sometimes anger, you know, when I can't execute it like I want to.
Yeah.
There have been so many times where, you know, I'll work on something because I work really slow, which is another thing that kind of just drives me insane. Cause like it's not super conducive when you have like a really short attention span and you work really slow.
Yeah.
Because by the time you're halfway there, you're like, I don't fucking care about this. I don't even want to finish this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like all of that stuff. If somebody was in a position where they could step back and watch me work, they would see all of that.
Yeah.
To whatever degree. I mean, obviously there's a lot going on in my head, but if somebody were to kind of like be able to see how I work and I were, you know, to say like write down how I was feeling, which oddly enough, I actually do that in a lot of my artwork because I get so fed up. I'll just start writing shit on it in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like in this really loose way, try and like work it into the artwork. Sometimes it works out kind of cool. Sometimes it just looks like the fucking scrawlings of a madman. Like, but you know, that's kind of, you know, what he and I were talking about is like, it's kind of interesting when you think of it from that angle. It's kind of interesting to think about, you know, if there's equal beauty in like the finished product of somebody doing some creative endeavor versus like how they got there. And you know what is hilarious?
What?
I am just caught your fucking car out of the corner of my eye as I said that, and I found the fucking connection.
You knew exactly where I was going to go when I said I knew how to tie this to
because cars. It's like you looking at it exactly how it is. It's like, it's not where he wants it to be, but if you've watched all of his videos and mm-hmm. you've seen the process to get it even where it's at, and it's not even done yet,
mm-hmm.
that's beautiful in and of itself. That whole process, you know, seeing you grow, seeing things go on outside
mm-hmm.
of what you have going on, seeing periods of time where you're like, I can't even fucking touch this thing because it pisses me off so much just because... Yep. I have other shit to worry about. It's like, it's just so interesting to me that he and I kind of like found that angle to look at it where it's like, even if, you know, you're failing a lot, even if you don't, you know, you don't like what you're coming out with at any given time, whatever, if nothing else, at least let yourself sit back and be like, well, whatever I just created is a piece of shit. But like the process that it took to get there, even if it was also shit, which it is for me sometimes.
Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful because nobody else is going to struggle for 2 hours to make the garbage just like I did.
No, you're 100% right. And yeah, that's exactly how I was planning to tie that into cars. We're sitting here, you know, 6 feet away from my car in its very unfinished state. And all of what you just said relates directly to my car. And I think it would relate to a lot of people that are listening to this in the sense that maybe it doesn't even need to be cars. It doesn't even need to be anything creative. There are so many different parts of life that there's this general consensus applies to.
Like, I think, yeah, I feel like anytime you're aiming for anything, really.
Yeah, yeah. The journey to get there ultimately is what's so important and special. How the fuck
did we just arrive at this point on a car podcast? That is hilarious.
Because this is more than just a car podcast.
No, I mean, I know. Anyway, it very much is just...
This is...
You have to...
Audio. This is audio therapy for car people.
It's reframing.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, kind of to like weirdly glue this to like the mental health and being open stuff. Like, it's super easy. You know, realistically, even for people that really do care about you and want to validate you, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody says the wrong thing sometimes. But I think something that is important, whether or not you're dealing with a chemical imbalance of some kind, whatever it is that you have going on, I think something that is always good to at least aim for, even if you can't hit it. I get it. I have been there. You just feel like, you know what? I try this every fucking day and I just can't do it. And you just want to give up. I get it. I've been there. I've given up before.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? I get it. But I will say this. If you wake up every day and you just kind of aim to like, I want to find a perspective, I want to find a frame of reference that makes this even 0.5% less shitty.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good, you know, that's a good path. And like, I guess having to go through this whole thing about like creativity and artwork to arrive at that point. But like in that scenario, it's kind of like, even like I said, even when you do spend 3 hours and it looks like shit and you have to sit back and just be like, I hate that I just wasted 3 hours on that.
But that was 3 hours of the journey. Without those 3 hours, you may not arrive at what ultimately is the end result.
Exactly.
And that's...
Damn. Look at us go, son. Holy fuck.
It ties a lot into car stuff too because, you know, a lot of us... With building cars, it isn't, you can't just do it.
It's not linear.
Yeah, you don't just turn around and build a fuck. Like some people do. Some people have the money and resources and I guess the time, whatever, can just turn around and build a car like nothing. But for a lot of us that, you know, work regular jobs, we don't make a whole lot of money, we have things going on, whether you have family stuff, you know, bills, whatever it is, like we have real lives outside of the cars, and the cars are an outlet. And when the outlet starts to become something that is really a stressor in your life, and it, like you said, becomes a chore, you don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And I've come to that point so many times with my car.
Well, I'm glad, really quick, I'm glad that you just said what you just said, because I also want to validate the people who could very easily be in that moment right now. I will never forget this. My friend Austin Tillison said this just with absolutely no intent of like leaving a really lasting impression on me. But he and I were talking one time, like on Instagram or whatever. And, you know, I was dealing with something that, you know, needed my attention. And he literally was just like, "Hey man, don't worry. Like, there's a time for cars and there's a time for life. Right now is the time for life." And it's like, I think it's just valuable to just point out with clarity that if you are in a part of your life where you need to put cars away, put them away.
Yeah.
Like they're going to be there when you come back. Like they're not going to fucking go. I promise you, these little bastards will be there. They're like a fucking disease. Once you get into them, you can't get rid of them. So it's kind of like when you have those times in your life where you're just like, fuck, like I need to put my priorities elsewhere. Do that. Like y'all need to realize one of the reasons that I'm so appreciative to, I mean, all of y'all, but like, especially the people that bought the Not Fast stuff. Like had I not had that income from selling that merch, my car would still be stock and it would probably stay stock for much longer because my priorities are just different right now. I mean, as much as I wish that I could put priority and income into my car, being with Pow is just infinitely more important to me. And the process to bring somebody into the United States legally is expensive and it's not easy and it's time intensive. And being, you know, being with her, having her here, being able to meet all of my people, you, Ben, all of my people, it's like getting her here to do all of that is way more important to me than having a cool low car right now.
Yeah.
But I'd like to tell all of you that bought Not Fast stuff, you guys got me the cool low car.
Right, right.
So I can't tell you how appreciative I am that you spent $5, $10, however the fuck much you spent on that, because this is like a little microcosm of when we talk about small businesses. Like, I bet you didn't fucking realize you were giving me that when you bought a $5 Not Fast sticker, did you?
Yeah. And I'm in like a similar space with that when it comes to car stuff too, like especially with the LS. Like, I know that people get on my case. They're like, dude, just finish your car. Why is your car not done? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not even going to address any of that. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if anybody's like on my ass about it. 3 years
for this, Liam?
I know.
I'm probably going to have that like on my tombstone or something. I know.
But no, like I'm at a point with the LS where it's not, I love it. I really, really want it to be done. I really want to enjoy it. But the chore, the overarching just weight of what it needs to be finished and how much money it is going to cost me stresses me the fuck out. And so I put it away.
Yeah.
The LS sits in the garage. I don't drive it. I don't do anything with it. And honestly, I don't even come out here and like look at it and appreciate it anymore. And it sucks, but that's just where I need to be at right now.
Because it's like that sometimes.
Because right now I'm in a, you know, weird transition period where I'm dissolving my business, which has been like the key focus of everything to do with my life for years. And so I'm now having to like, you know, replan what I'm going to do next. What's my next stepping stone? I can't just be like, yeah, all right, let's just ship the fucking thing off, get it painted, blah, blah, blah. Right. That's a lot of money that I have no financial security for whatsoever right now.
Right.
So right now I'm making, you know, the smart adult plans and planning for my future. I'm potentially getting into a career path but still trying to allow myself to be able to, you know, do the things that I want to do, like this podcast, and still run a business. But ultimately I need, like, my future does not revolve around this car being finished.
Right.
The car being finished is something that I want, and it's obviously been a long-term goal, and I fucking love the thing. I cannot wait to see it done in the way that I've always imagined it, and I can't wait to build more cars after it. But right now, I have to put priority on what I need to do. I right. have to be an adult. I need to make sure that I can pay my bills. I need to make sure that a year from now, I can get approved for a mortgage. I don't plan to intend to keep fucking renting places and throwing money away and throwing stupid amounts of money at a car that is ultimately undrivable. you know, that's just not smart. Like, right now I'm not really focused on the LS because it just doesn't need to be a priority. I love the thing. I will get it done. It's not gonna, you know, I'm not about to scrap the thing, but right now I put it away.
Just, and that's just, yeah, I mean, that's just what you have to do sometimes. And I think, you know, for anybody that's listening to this that's like new, I hope, obviously, that this is not even really something that you would have to be like this. You wouldn't have to be introduced to this idea, that you just kind of have like that pre-existing knowledge that like this is not everything. Like, yeah. My life and my identity don't need to fall apart, like, at whatever, when I can't do good, whatever. Like, but the fact of the matter is, I know that there are people that come into this, like I was at one point, where you're like so passionate about it. This is you. Like, this is your identity. Like, well, this is,
you're talking to me.
Well, right, that, and that's what I'm saying. Is, that's, it's like, this is
exactly who I have been. This is for 6 years.
You know,
years.
Your identity, and just, this is just who you are. So I feel like it can be really easy. Liam obviously has some years at this, but I'm talking to people who are new to this, to whatever degree. It's like, you got to realize, man, you're allowed to put the shit away for a while.
Yeah.
And however, a while could be a few months, a while could be 10 fucking years. Dude, I have seen people, there was a guy in Atlanta whose name I do not remember, who did absolutely nothing in the car scene after, like I heard he was around at like Nopi Nationals, like Spocom days,
mm-hmm.
did absolutely fucking nothing for like 10 to 12 years. And then came out with this fucking insane VIP car. He was just, dude, he was living his life. He was having a family. He was, yep. I'm pretty sure he's like a dentist. And I'm like, he's doing all of that shit. He just put it away. And that's okay. You can.
It is.
I'm anybody that knows this, you already know. So I'm not talking to you. But anybody that doesn't, you know, fully grasp the fact that you're not, you know, you're not doing something wrong if you're putting cars away. Because, like I said, those little fuckers are always going to be there. I promise. I'm not joking. It's like a fucking disease. Like,
I don't know, man. We might get into one of those fucking topics about where the car industry is heading again and be like, oh, 10 years from now, we may not have cars.
Well, I mean, yes.
I'm totally kidding.
No, I know you are. But no, it's just like, I think what I'm getting at is something that, for whatever, it's not just society here. I think it's just society at large, but something that I think is really important that applies to everything. This is not just cars. This is just life as a human being. For some weird reason, in most cases, anything that is trying to tell you a story, it's trying to tell you that a story is linear. And it's just not.
No.
You are, I'm not going to say never, because there are some things that just by nature have a very linear trajectory. But I would say the vast majority of things in life.
Try clarifying that when you say linear.
Linear. So it's kind of like, you know, when people introduce you to the idea of like the order of your life, which happens a lot to, like, you know, younger people, teenagers, I have no idea ultimately, like, what the main
go
demographic.
Go to school, go to college, exactly. Get a job,
you know,
start,
what I mean?
A family.
You have this
of
kind, yeah, of like, to whatever, you know, to whatever degree it may be. I mean, there are different, I'm just being honest, like, you know, there are different expectations laid on children by different families, different cultures, different different nationality. I mean, there's so much different stuff, but the common denominator is there's always like some semblance of like this order that is given to you. Like you're expected to do X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not like that. And
imagine it like this. Imagine you have a pond and there are, you know what lily pads are, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a pond and you got a bunch of lily pads, right? And you have to use the lily pads to cross the pond.
Right.
And you don't know by each step that you take onto a new lily pad, whether that lily pad is going to support your weight or not. So ultimately, you're going to fucking fail to get across that pond. You're going to step on a lily pad. You're going to fall in. What are you going to do? You're going to get back out. You're going to go to the start. And you know next time not to step on that one or to step on it differently. That is exactly how life is in the way that it is not linear in this context. It's you have to navigate your way through life and you are going to fucking step on something that is not going to support the weight. You're going to fall in. You're going to fail. And then you just go back. You take that step back onto the next one. You climb back up onto the other lily pad and you just figure it the fuck out. And
God damn it. You always get the clippable moments. All right.
But there's no clippable moment because the fucking camera's not rolling. So we can't actually use this. But.
So here's the thing though, that's interesting. And I just fucking forgot it.
Oh my God. It is so interesting. I have forgotten.
No, so it's. Oh my God! Oh, I hate it. But yeah, it's. I think that's just important. To whatever degree, I know that we all know this information. I've just learned throughout my life. Sometimes it can be really nice and valuable to be reminded.
Yeah.
Of things. And it is, you know, low key.
What?
I guess technically I don't know the degree to which you were joking, but when you were like, it's like therapy for car people.
No, I mean,
therapy. Yeah. Therapy is kind of like a heavy word, but you're right. Like this is me and him are sitting here talking about this and it's obviously, like we said, it's very comfortable for us,
but if you're a car nut, this is the perfect podcast for you. This is like, we're talking about some in-depth life stuff.
It's kind of interesting because like, I think that's what really I'm thinking about it now. I think that's something that makes somebody a car enthusiast that's really, really fun to be around. Is when you realize that your whole fucking identity does not have to lean on cars. Like,
you know,
the thing about enthusiasts that are, you know, well-rounded, they usually have pretty cool fucking cars in my experience.
Yeah. But no, I mean, this ties to me directly because like when you say about how like cars do not have to be your identity. Well, cars have been my fucking identity for the past 6+ years. Since I've lived in the US and I've like busted ass trying to grow my business and grow my like following online and,
well,
and
everything. Hold on a second.
Everything I've done.
I want to stop you for a second.
Okay.
Yes. Cars have been a large part of your identity, but they're not your whole identity. You as a human being.
Well, no, I'm saying they have been, and now I'm at a stage in my life where I'm really trying to explore like who I am and what else I have other than that. But like I've always known who I am. I'm not saying I'm like super.
I was
going
to say to me
sense.
That sounded like you were like, this is all I've known. I'm like,
No. Yeah, it did kind of come across that way, but no, that's not what I was going for. I've made it so that everything in my life revolves around cars for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it has burnt me the fuck out. I don't like a lot of the people that I've been like friends with over the years. I just don't even want to associate with anymore because a lot of it has been so just, hey, they have a cool car or, you know, they want to hang out with me because I take dope pictures and make cool videos. And it's just, I'm, so done with all of that part of my life.
Can I say something that's kind of uncomfortably deep?
Go right ahead. Like, we haven't been uncomfortably deep.
No, this is like really uncomfortable, especially for people that.
All right.
Okay. If you're brand new to this and you're bright eyed, you might want to cover your ears for about 2 minutes. But if you want to hear the realness in my experience, I'm about to tell you what it is. One of the reasons that I ultimately, like, kind of decided definitively that doing not fast was just not going to work out for me is that car culture, as it is here, like, overall, is really shallow.
Mm-hmm.
It is very shallow. And it's like, no, I know that's not fucking breaking news.
No.
But what I will say is I was getting, you know, I was seriously considering getting in as what is ultimately a competitor in an industry that is almost completely based off of, like, what's popular at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept thinking about, like, when people would ask me, like, what I do, and I would have to, like, explain to them. And not only was there always that awkward moment where you tried to explain to somebody outside of, like, the car community, like, what you were doing, because they're like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't really understand what you're saying to me, but yeah, like, that you're making money, obviously, so that's cool. Like, the thing about it is, you are going, and that's one of the things that's, damn it, Riverside gets in every time.
Fucking damn it.
That is one of the beautiful things that I think Riverside, just as an event, really kind of, like, hammered home for me, is that in a weird way, like, both the positive direction and the negative direction, you know, you can take that to mean what you will. But, like, if you are yourself a well-rounded person, if you're hanging out with a well-rounded person, but that thing that you have in common is cars, you are going to have an infinitely better experience.
Yes.
Doing this. Because, like, the people that, and I'm, you know, they could just be at a weird part of their life. This is not me making a judgment on anybody, because I've been there. I have been in that moment where it's just like, I've never leaned completely onto cars, but, like, I had that moment in my life where I had to lean on that because I felt so lost. Like, I just was like, well, I have that. So,
yeah,
you know, and there are people there. So I'm not judging anybody if you feel like you're there. But what I will say is the same thing. It's just really sad because, like, kind of the community, when you step back at a glance, the nature of it is very shallow, but doesn't have to be. You building your own experience, you building your own car, you building your own friend groups. Ultimately, the way that you perceive what the community is like is up to you. Yeah. Because the community, as defined by you, is going to be the one that you interact with the most often.
Yep. Everything that you just said, none of that is anything that, like, bothers or upsets me, because I relate to it entirely. Like, my realization after having spent so much time just being so involved with so many different groups and different, you know, types of people, different kinds of cars, subcultures, whatever, is that's what I've taken away from it, is that overall it's pretty shallow.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it is what you make of it and what, you know, who you choose to associate with and the things that you choose to do. It's directly related to your choices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm so thankful, you know, to almost have stumbled across you and Ben. I mean, yeah, I've known Ben for years, but me and you stumbled across each other through Ben.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for the friendship that we have now, because it isn't based around cars. And this all ties into why this podcast is so, like, cool to me. Why well, I enjoy
and
this.
I agree. It's kind of funny because when I started talking about that, I kind of forgot I was going to venture into that a little bit. It is really, for some reason, ever since you said like therapy for car people, even though I highly doubt we're going to like lean into that as a tagline, but like ever since you said that, I can't let that shit go. Like this is really becoming a lot more of a human thing just for this particular demographic. Obviously, you know, we're going to have all the various things, but it is really interesting because it really is that. I mean, cars ultimately are a really, really, really interactive creative medium. They're almost like creativity level two, because the coolest part of like artwork, I mean, yes, there are like interactive artwork, whatever, but like you can't drive a fucking drawing. You can't have
<That's> true.
you can't have like this completely raw,
you can like just look at
visceral
it.
Fucking, you know, yeah. feeling.
It's
in a drawing.
Cars are engineered.
When you finish a fucking car that you've been working on for however much time, you can open the door and get in that fucking artwork.
Yeah.
That is like the coolest fucking thing.
Yeah.
You can possibly think of. And it doesn't matter what kind. It doesn't matter if it's VIP, Conjo, track, circuit, whatever the fuck I got going on. Like, it doesn't matter. Once you get it to where you want it, and I mean, even throughout the process, when it's not where you, we just talked about this, even when it's not where you want it yet,
yeah.
When the fucking mood hits you right, and you're like, fuck it, man, I want to go for a night drive. That fucking surreal, dreamy fucking feeling that you get when you're just cruising in this car that you fucking love with music that you fucking love, you can't do that with a fucking painting.
Yeah.
You can't.
No, you can't.
So it's just like,
it's a good feeling. But okay, well, I want to tie it back to this podcast and all of the things that we've been talking about. When we started this episode, we were talking about how, you know, it's not that easy to get guests on here all the time. We're just kind of winging it, blah, blah, blah. Well, we always do kind of end up somewhere that's pretty great, honestly. I feel like we're in a good spot right now. And one of the reasons that I really enjoy this podcast and all of the things that we have talked about is, you know, when you're really passionate about something, when it gets to a point where it feels like it becomes a chore, and like we were saying towards the start of this episode, like it kind of bums us out that we're not putting in as much effort to blah, 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 to, you know, to produce the episode.
Yeah.
But then when we get to points like this where we're like really in depth into something that's just super interesting that, you know, for both of us is valuable for us to just talk about regardless. But then a whole bunch of other people are listening. It's just like, fuck, okay, yeah, this is really fucking cool.
Well,
and it never feels like a chore to do this because we're just expressing it.
Exactly. Well, and it's like, that's what's so funny about this to me is I would assume Liam would get, like, I would look forward to this. I look forward to recording an episode every single week because it's literally just like, oh, it's me and Liam time. Like, we just come in the garage and just fucking talk about shit. Yeah. And it's like, I really enjoy it, first of all, because I'm talking to my best friend. But, like, the other thing is, this is like, there's not a but, I'm just changing directions. I'm realizing what I was trying to say, but I just talked myself somewhere the fuck else.
That happens often.
That's what's so amazing to me about this podcast and where we're going to go from here.
Mm.
I don't have that same feeling of like uneasiness that I ended with a Not Fast, where I'm kind of like, do I really want to like base what is ultimately going to be my profession on this really like shaky foundation? Because this is what this is anything but.
Oh, there's nothing shallow like, about this.
This is being a human being and a friend and a crew member.
Mm.
That really fucking likes cars.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, anybody that is this far into an episode, you guys are part of that, you know? We really do fucking love the fact that you guys will just listen to us ramble about shit.
And see, that's actually the thing.
Like, this is, it's not just like some bullshit to fucking listen to.
Well, and exactly. So that's the thing. It's like, I'll tell you right now, if you're listening to this, if you listen to us regularly, if you've never listened to any of our stuff, but until now, like, excuse me, this is why we want to talk to you guys at shows, on the Discord, wherever the fuck, because like, if you are listening to us talk right now and you enjoy what we're talking about, this is me and Liam. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah. Like, well, this is just, we are the dudes that you're hearing in the podcast. So it's like, if you are listening to us with whatever consistency and you're thinking to yourself like, oh yeah, these guys are cool, I want to talk to them, we want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, we very much want to talk to you, because...
And one of the best ways to do that is through our Discord.
Yes. Currently, and yes.
I will say this every single week. I change the damn settings on the link so that it doesn't expire, but every single time it does. So if you do click on the link in the description and it doesn't work, literally just send me or Matt a message and we will send you a link for the Discord. But so, it's really, really fucking awesome, because it's kind of just like an extension of a lot of the things that we talk about on this podcast. But we have all these like subcategories for just different car cultures.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to just share that with other people and kind of just dive into some of that
stuff. And definitely check it out. You know, I certainly want to, you know, make a very distinct shout out to all of you guys who are regularly in the Discord. That will never not be cool, because like, there are obviously those of you guys who are in the Discord, and I very much appreciate you, obviously, but the guys that are active in the Discord, that's just so fucking cool to see you guys' name pop up every day, see you guys having conversations and stuff. And my brain is going off about Discord. Unfortunately, I have to apologize again, but I'm going to apologize for like, I'm not going to say the last time, but I'm going to make like a big apology, because I think for now, the streams will probably be a to be announced thing, because we're just kind of finding that with both of our schedules / energy levels, it's just not realistic to say that we're going to do it every single week. It's just not going
to
work.
It's hard.
As much as we want to.
It's hard to justify it to, like, it's really fun. Like, the few times that we've done it, we've really enjoyed sitting down with you guys and like having the conversation about what's going on in the chat, like while we're listening to the podcast live. It's been awesome, but it's an energy thing.
It's really hard to do. Logistics of
planning the scheduling and everything. And then, you know, it's like four or five of us in there. Tops. It's hard to do that amount of work. And like I've said before, it's hard for me to listen to the podcast. Right. I've already listened to it multiple times.
Yeah.
And so, going back to what we just said, you know, this podcast right now, it doesn't feel like it's a chore. It's great. We come on here every week and we talk about stuff that we love doing, and this is really fun. And we want to try and avoid getting to any of those points where it's like, oh yeah, we feel like we have to do this.
And I don't think we'll really. I know exactly what you're saying, but I don't think we'll get there. But I definitely hop in the Discord. But yeah, I mean, there's another thing that I just want to head it off at the pass, really. I hate this. I don't even know if I want to like say this, but I'm just going to be open about it. Like, so the thing about being bipolar is it's all a cyclical thing. That being said, when I am in charge of something, when I am in a bad or difficult cycle, some things can fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nice things about this now being a three-person venture is we have checks and balances for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I just want you to know that if you are in the Discord and you give any semblance of a shit about, like, you know, content stream, you know, whatever it may be, all of us, I suppose, are trying to figure out some type of system just so we can keep things like running in an entertaining way, I guess I will say. But up until now, I've been trying to kind of take the lead with all of the Discord stuff, and I just have not been making it happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I haven't been in there anywhere near as often as I had hoped to be.
And, you know, again, I am not using, because that's, I'm not, matter of fact, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not saying that this is like, oh, well, it happens because I'm bipolar. No, I'm saying it happens because I'm not doing what needs to be done. It's just every time I get like a new consistent thing added to my schedule, I have to learn how to work with that around
And then
what I have going on.
When something comes in that offsets your schedule completely, then it becomes hard to do everything else.
Exactly.
Been in that cycle a million times.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, ultimately just running off of, you know, what we said in our other episode where we were getting high off of the many awesome ideas we have for this. This is, we're all in, I think we're all to various degrees in kind of this weird purgatory feeling at the moment. So behind the scenes, we're all just kind of trying to navigate that. So once we get our shit together, it's going to be very visibly obvious.
Yeah.
But right now we're still in the process of doing that. So
yes,
we are all really appreciative of your support. We're really appreciative of your kind words, and we are really appreciative of your patience, because sometimes, like now, we need that.
Yeah. But no, thank you guys so much for being listeners or watchers if you were on YouTube. I apologize for the camera issue this week. Just that happens sometimes. You know, we're not by any means a professional studio or anything. We're just some guys that do this in our garage. Very messy garage at that. But thank you guys so much.
There's a couch with chairs and a vacuum cleaner, on Liam's left right now.
But thank you guys so much for tuning in every week. We really do appreciate it. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please go give us 5 stars and post a screenshot and share this on your story and tag us, because that really does a lot of the groundwork for getting this out to new people. Like I've said every episode, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. Somebody's going to see you post it and they're like, oh, what's that? And if enough people are posting it, people are going to have to click on it. And some people will like it, some people won't, and that's fine. But if we can expose this podcast to people that would truly fuck with it like you guys do, that would be awesome. And it will eventually enable us to do bigger and better things with this podcast, make it a better experience for you guys. And this is just, this is a, has been a blessing so far. Everything to do with this podcast, it's been amazing. So we're very thankful for all of you guys. But yeah, thanks for tuning in this week. I think that this was a cool episode. We jumped into a lot of things. That were pretty interesting.
It's so funny because you were totally in the very beginning. I was like, I don't know. You're just like, watch, just watch.
Yeah, I said this to Matt. I'm just like, look, the off the cuff episodes,
these usually end well and
end up being pretty fucking good.
Here we are.
Anyways, thank you guys again.
Yes, we love you. Thank you so much. We
shout out.
We honestly could not explain.
Yeah.
How much this means.
Shout out to Johnny again for the chairs.
Dude,
these have been a vast improvement.
It's been 2 hours and 5 minutes and I'm still chilling. Johnny.
I've been slouched in this chair with my gut pushed up.
I was gonna say, because we're not on camera,
this,
so we're both
entire
just like,
episode. And yeah, I'm pretty comfortable, other than the fact that I need to poop really bad. So yeah, we're ready to end this so I can go do that. But this chair has been
a lifesaver. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
Thank you. We love you guys. We'll be back next week for another episode.